you've been looking for? What is the peace that you've been looking for? And what is peace from Jesus? 8 to 12. And then after we read that scripture and talk about it, we're going to move on to a second section and look at Luke with the third section of this passage, 16 to 20. For those of you that have not heard my preaching before, I suppose we can call this chunking. I take a passage and I read a little bit and talk about it, read a little bit and talk about it. I don't know about you, but sometimes it helps me understand Scripture better when I spend some time with one section and then move to the next section and then the next section. So let us pray, and we're going to look at our first section, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 up to 12. We're going to have the scripture on the screen, but you're welcome to grab your own Bible, get out your phone app, or grab one of the pew Bibles in front of you. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy and awesome word. Lord, we know that this is the truth about our entire universe, about our world. That's the truth about us, and it's the truth about your Son. Lord, guide us today as we look at the perspective of the shepherds here in the Christmas story. We ask for this help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, starting off with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." This is the word of the Lord. You know, we get wrapped up in this whole Christmas thing, and we've heard this story about Jesus' birth and in Bethlehem and being placed in a manger our whole lives. But if you really think about it, it doesn't sound like a great birth story. It's wild for us to think and to realize that God's eternal plan, before the foundation of the world was put in place, God's eternal plan was for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem in a barn or stable or cave, and for him to be placed in a manger, in a yucky, dirty feeding trough. This was God's eternal plan, that Jesus would be born very, very low. You know, my wife and I, we were able to go to Madison on a date several weeks ago. And when we were there, we went to this vintage 90s, it sounds funny to me because I grew up in the 90s, but it was a vintage 90s t-shirt shop. And we're looking around at all of the stuff they had for sale there, and it was the worst clothing from the 90s possible. We're talking about like a UW t-shirt with Fred Flintstone on it, with Wilma, it was just all crazy stuff. And I was thinking to myself, looking around at this really expensive 90s vintage clothing, that there's no way I would have worn this stuff when I was in the 90s. Anyway, we're looking around, and there's a sign that says that there is a $5 pile. Well, I wouldn't pay $5 for anything in this store in the first place, but I did wonder what the $5 pile was. So there was a sign, and you had to go through a door in the back, and we thought that there'd be a $5 pile in the, you know, a back room of the store, right? $5 pile. Well, we went through the door, and where'd we end up? We were in the alley. We were in the alley, and it was wild. So I turned to my left, and there's a guy over here with a whole electronic music set up with the turntables, and he's spinning out beats over in the corner over here of the alley. And then spread out in the alley was one of the fake grass green carpet squares, you know, a big one, rolled out in the alley. And then there was just a dirty, giant pile of clothes laying on top of that green carpet. And there was a bunch of college students surrounding the circle, all trying to pick through and find some good $5 clothing on the ground in the alley. My wife and I looked at each other, and we were like, what is going on? This is wild. I'm not going to be buying any clothing off of the green carpet out in the middle of the alley. No way. It was shocking to us that this would even happen. When we think about the Christmas story, it should be more shocking to us that Jesus, the Savior, was born in a barn. My dad always told me when I left dishes all over that I was born in a barn, but I wasn't. Jesus truly was born in a barn amongst all of the animals, placed in a manger. Now, we hear in this story about some shepherds. Now, like I said, we've heard this story about Christmas over and over and over in our lives, and we might think a lot of the shepherds. But people in their day would not have thought anything of the shepherds. In fact, they would have thought that they would have assumed that they were the biggest set of lowlifes around. That's the view that people would have had of these shepherds. A bunch of brash, crude lowlifes. These guys are just sleeping out in the fields. I've never done that. I don't know if you have, but I've never just slept out in a field at night. These guys did. That was their life, sleeping out in the fields. They were uncivilized, rough, vulgar, impolite. These are some micro dirty jobs kind of guys. These were some roughnecks. And the townsfolk would have been suspicious of them. In fact, in that day, shepherds were associated with robbers and thieves. And maybe some of them were robbers and thieves. Maybe when townsfolk walked by, some of these shepherds would go up and try to hustle some money out of the townsfolk and rob them of some of their cash or some of their goods. They were seen as untrustworthy. And when it came to the court of law, their testimonies would not ever be accepted. So if something happened and one of the witnesses was a shepherd, it would not have been admissible in court. That's how low people thought of the shepherds. In fact, they were right up there with gamblers and tax collectors. That's what people would have thought of the shepherds. So we need to make sure when we think about the Christmas story that we don't idolize or glamorize the shepherds. People would have seen them as lowlifes. These are guys that you would not want to invite into your home. You wouldn't want to bring them home for lunch today. But God's eternal plan is amazing and awesome. Jesus was born low. And who gets to hear about the birth of Jesus first? The lowest low lives in the area, the shepherds. They get to hear the announcement of Jesus' birth. Not kings, not queens, not celebrities, not the most important people in town, but lowly shepherds get to hear about the lowly birth of Jesus. So these shepherds, they receive a visit from an angel of the Lord. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Joseph. Getting a visit from an angel of the Lord is not something that happens every day. Joseph got a visit from an angel of the Lord, but there are some others that did too. We think about people like Abraham and Moses and Gideon and some of the prophets. They got visits from an angel of the Lord. That's who came. It's remarkable. These are just shepherds. They're not Moses. They're not like Abraham. They're not like Gideon. But they get a visit from an angel of the Lord. But it wasn't just the visit from the angel of the Lord. They also experienced the glory of the Lord. This mysteriously is somehow the real display of God's glory in front of them. The real display of God's glory. And it's described as something like light right in front of them. Can you imagine? An angel of the Lord coming down and making himself known to you, and then the glory of the Lord, some mysteriously maybe described as light surrounding you in the middle of the night. You know, my wife and I were able to, and family too, were able to go to the EAA night show this year. And we were pretty impressed with the drone show that they had at night. They had these drones that came up in lines. And then all of a sudden they started making whole scenes out of these drones and spelling things out in the sky. It was amazing. This visit from the angel and the glory of the Lord shining around them would have blown the EAA show out of the water. I'm sure it was so overwhelming that the shepherds could probably hardly even take it. Now, when all of this happened, the shepherds, remember, these are outcasts. These are what people considered lowlives. They feared a great fear. They feared a great fear. You know, some of the stories they've heard about angels are stories like Sodom and Gomorrah, where some angels showed up and wiped everybody out. And maybe because these guys were sinners, they thought that maybe this angel was there to slaughter them, to end their lives right then and there. Maybe all of the sins that they've committed, like maybe they were thinking about all of those in their mind, like, what did I do today? What did I do yesterday? What did I do the day before? This angel's going to kill us. We are dead. They feared a great fear. But the angel wasn't there for God's righteousness and justice to rain down on them. No. The angel was there for a different mission. The angel lets them know that he is there for good news of great joy. And this is going to be for Jews and Gentiles and shepherds and everybody alike. And even for you and for me. The Savior is born. The Prince of Peace is born. I asked earlier, what kind of peace are you looking for? Maybe you've got a list on the counter at home of all the things that you need to accomplish in the next couple of days. Maybe you've got a checklist at work of all the things you need to get done before the end of the year. And maybe you're looking forward to that feeling of peace when you get all of it accomplished and you can finally relax. Maybe that's the kind of peace you're looking for. Or maybe you're looking for that feeling when you punch out on Tuesday night from work and you don't have to be back for another week or two. Maybe that's the feeling that you're looking for, that feeling of peace. Or maybe you're longing and hoping that you can finally get over that bump in the road, and when you do, you will finally get to experience peace. Maybe that's what you're looking for. Or maybe you're getting real close on that house payment or that car payment, and you're looking forward to that peace, that feeling, when you send in that check for the last payment, and you're finally debt-free after so many years. Maybe that's the peace that you're looking for, that some of those feelings that you have when you are able to accomplish what you set out to accomplish. Well, what Jesus brings is more than those temporary feelings. More than those temporary feelings. Because you know what? After you accomplish that list at school or at work or on the counter, you know what's going to show up after a few days? Another list. And what about when you punch out at the end of the week? Well, you know what? You're going to have to go back to work. And you're going to be punching in again. Or maybe you have that bump in the road that you've been dealing with. You know what? You're probably going to have to deal with another one after that. And what about being financially free? Having that check, last check sent, and you know what? Something's going to come up. And you're going to lose that peace again. Well, what Jesus brings is more than the feelings of peace, these temporary feelings. He's more than that. Like we heard on the video, the peace that Jesus brings is God's highest and greatest good for us. This is peace. It's a shalom or peace that is greater than any of our circumstances, any of those temporary things that we deal with. And it's a deep, unexplainable joy that infects our hearts deep down to our very being. That's the kind of peace that Jesus brings. And with it comes utter and total assurance that we are God's children and that we are saved. We're not just talking about from stress or anxiety or bills or relationship issues, but we are saved eternally. Saved eternally. This is the peace that we need. And this is the peace that comes at Christmas. Now, the shepherds are going to receive a sign. And the sign is this, that there will be a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And this baby, he is Christ the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior that they've been waiting for centuries now. He is the Messiah. And he's come now at the appointed time, God's eternal plan. And he is the Lord. This is big. He is the Lord. The word Lord used here is only used for God. It's the word that's used for God. He is Christ the Lord. He is God among us, Emmanuel. And he has come to rescue us from sin and death. All right, let's head back into our Bibles now. We're going to look at the second section. This is Luke 2, 13 to 15. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they already had the presence of the angel. And they had the glory of the Lord shining around them. And now a great company of heavenly hosts show up. The knowledge of the eternal plan of salvation was very limited on earth, but it was not limited in heaven. All of heaven seems to know about God's eternal plan, and the whole company of heaven shows up on that night. A company can be seen as a military unit or an army. So we're talking about the angels of God's army just show up that night. Well, just who knows? Are we talking thousands? Are we talking millions? Man, I can see why the shepherds were scared out of their minds. But they are not coming to bring justice, but rather the good news of God's peace. This is an incredible night in history. Christ the Lord was born. Jesus the Savior is born. God's highest and greatest good. The Son of God, Jesus, is sent as low as he could go, being placed in a manger. And we've got a wonderful connection to the cross here. What happens to Jesus on the cross? Well, that form of torture was as low as you could go. And Jesus, he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And then what happens to him after that? Well, he's put in the tomb. And we sing, "Low in the grave he lay." Jesus came low. Jesus died on the cross low. And low in the grave he was laid. All for our salvation and for our peace. For all of us low lives, he came for us. Now this whole company of angels, they are praising God and they are saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Do you want this incredible peace, this great joy, this deep assurance? If you do, I would invite you today to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Well, later on today, go into your room, shut the door, fall on your knees, humble yourself before the Lord in prayer, and pray about how you have wronged him in the past. Recall those sins in your mind and say, "Jesus, I'm sorry for all of the things that I have done against you." Ask for his forgiveness. And when you do, receive it from him. His favor will rest on you when you humble yourself and turn to him. There was a time when I believed that I was the center of the universe. Truly. I believed that I was the center of the universe and everything in the world should revolve around me. But when I was about, 22, 23 years old, my wife asked me to come to a church and I heard this message of salvation for the very first time. And when I did, I remember sitting in the parking lot like, wow, I had no idea that's what the good news is. That Jesus comes to save sinners like me. I didn't know. And it was then that I turned my life towards Christ. And I knew that my life was going to change. And man, it sure has. In so many ways. You know, there's a wonderful story. I talked about Jesus being on that cross. Well, next to Jesus on that cross was a thief. The thief was on death's doorstep right next to Jesus. And he trusted in Christ up on that cross. And this is pretty awesome. He asked Jesus to remember him. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." The saving work of Jesus is available right now, today. Don't wait. Don't wait. Well, when the angels left the shepherds and the glory of the Lord went away too, and they were just standing there, or maybe even on their knees together, and the sky went back to how it was before, they trusted God. They trusted that this was truly the word of the Lord, and it was from God, and they were obedient, and they were going to go and check out God's sign. They were going to go check out God's son. They knew that the town of David was Bethlehem, and they headed to Bethlehem. They believed that there was going to be a real baby and a real sign. And I'm going to say, you know what? If you don't trust what I say about all of this, I would invite you to get into the Word of God. I would invite you to come and let me know after the service. If you need a Bible, I will give you one today. And I'll even show you where to start. Right here in the Gospel of Luke, you can start off in the first chapter, and you could read it all through. You could probably get done with it today if you spent a little bit of time on it, learning about Jesus. You too can have real, deep down, forever assurance and peace. That's what this is all about. All in Jesus. All right, let's look at the last section here. This is verses 16 up to 20. So, they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, we would love to have more details about this whole thing. We would love to know the exact location of this cave or barn. We would love to have the rocks or the wood that we could go and touch and look at. We might wonder what the baby Jesus looked like. That's another detail that's not in here. We don't know about Mary and Joseph and what they looked like, what kind of clothing they were wearing, or any of those kinds of things. We don't know if there were any other people around that helped out with the delivery of Jesus. For Joseph's sake, I hope so. So someone around that knew what they were doing. So many questions. But we don't get those details. Instead, number one, we get a simple confirmation that this really happened, that it was a real birth, a real child, and it happened just as they were told. This is Christ the Lord. And I think that a simple confirmation with this is best. Could you imagine? See, God knows our sinful nature. Could you imagine if we knew the exact place, the piece of land where Jesus was born? Well, what would happen if we knew the exact piece where Jesus was born? People would fight over it. If we had those cloths that he was wrapped up in, they'd go to the highest bidder. If we had that manger, there might be bloodshed over that. I think it's best that we just have a simple confirmation and that there's not a Jesus in the manger memorabilia auction. I think a simple confirmation is best. And number two, here we also have the first evangelists, the first witnesses spreading the good news. Isn't that interesting that these guys are the first witnesses? Remember what I said earlier, that in the justice system in Israel, they couldn't be witnesses in a trial. But here, God chose them, these lowlifes, to be witnesses, to spread the good news. This ragtag group of guys announcing the Savior. I think that God does this on purpose. Well, obviously he does. It was his eternal plan. But the reason I think he might have done this is so that they would spread the good news of Jesus to others that are poor in spirit, that are low in their lives. People that are desperate for a Savior, desperate for that deep assurance and peace that Jesus offers. It is the humble who bow down the knee to Jesus. I think they were just the right guys for the job. So, they told Mary and Joseph all about the encounter they had with the angels. Mary, she treasured and pondered all of these things in her heart. And, yeah, what an amazing God. Sending the lowly in a manger Jesus for all of the lowly of heart. And those shepherds, they had a joy down in their heart. They went away glorifying and praising God and returning to work after spreading the good news. The sheep don't take care of themselves. Jesus really came for you, the lowly, the poor in spirit, those who are in desperate need of his peace. So, may the peace of Christ be with you this Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for sending your Son low so that us who are low and poor in spirit can humble ourselves and come before him. Lord, give us guidance today as we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.